I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello guys and welcome back to the Manchester Football Social. Thank you for downloading the podcast and don't forget, if you are new to this, make sure you hit subscribe. All you've got to do is search Manchester City Football Social on your podcast suppliers and get involved and get the new show every single time it goes live. I'm here with two Manchester City legends as well, Fanzone Danny, Danny Jackson, and my good friend Walter Smith. You right, gents?
Very well indeed. Always a pleasure to talk City for an hour.
Danny?
Easy money. This is great.
We've got some special guests coming up later, haven't we, on the podcast?
We sure have. Me and Walt salivating the one and only Ian Bishop having a chat later on. What a legend of a guy.
It's going to be absolutely awesome. And stay tuned for after the podcast. We'll be talking a little bit more about how good Raheem Sterling could potentially can be.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
So here we are once again. It is Tuesday and it is XS Manchester, the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. And two very distinguished Blue Moon Rising ex-guest people. We have got, of course, the amazing esteemed company. We have got Steve McInerney. How are we, Steve?
I am very, very good. Getting the band back together.
It is. The worst looking boy band in history.
Speak for yourself, man.
Exactly. I'm only speaking myself because the other guy is like the Brad Pitt of Blue Moon Rising. This is Mr. Walter Smith. How are you doing, Walt?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you very much for the compliments. I think you need to get yourself down to...
I'm disappointed.
I've got my Stevie Wonder glasses on tonight. Tonight is all about Manchester City, as always, on a Tuesday. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the big FA Cup game at weekend, the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday versus Newport. And we will also be talking to a Manchester City cult hero, legend, member of the 5-1 demolition of the Red Lot, September 1989. Me and Walt will remember that. Maybe not Steve as much. I was going to say only just born at that stage. He scored a... Do you remember the header, Walt? That lovely diving header, bottom bin. The one and only Mr. Ian Bishop. He'll be coming up a little bit later. So if you've got any questions for Ian, for us, then get them in. Give us a call. We'd love to speak to you. It's not all about texts and emails these days. We want to speak to you on 0345 111 7625. You can get us on text 87711 or at MCR Footy Social on Twitter. So first up, we are going to be talking about, we're going to be salivating, I believe is the right word, guys, about City's performance. Now, I'm going to start with Walt on this, Steve, because I heard the show last night and you eloquently talked about that performance. I mean, I'm sure you were there, you were watching that game. We're talking about, when you say 6-0 in the Premier League, you may be thinking, listen, this is Huddersfield, this is, you know, a lower end team. This is Chelsea. This is a team that three seasons ago had won the Premier League. This is a team that not that long ago had won the Champions League, and we made them look like a pub side.
Yeah, it was absolutely. I mean, hit for six, they were knocked out of the park. Strangely enough, I can't believe this. I had a family do on and I was driving up from Devon, so I set off at 4 o'clock, turn the radio on, and all you can see is this mad looking Manx smashing the top of his car roof like this as he's going up the M5 with each goal that went in. Luckily I taped it, so I was able to annoy the family even more, and they'd listen to it. They've no interest in football. You know, I'm embarrassing them. I'm getting off at service stations with a little spring in my step, looking for Chelsea shirts. I get home and I'm like, oh, what are we having for tea? And I'm like, no, we're getting this game straight on. I've heard all the commentary. I've heard all about Aguero's goal. I just wanted to see it and believe it. And there's many a sort of argument you could put forward that was the best performance by a Pep Guardiola team since he arrived at Manchester City.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of them, Steve, hasn't there? I mean, we could probably go through the time that Pep, particularly over the last two seasons, where you could single out certain games where you could make a case as probably the best you've ever seen. I actually believe it was only 1-0, but last season at Chelsea, when we beat 1-0 with De Bruyne, to me, that was the most complete City performance I've ever seen. But
they were champions then as well. So
exactly, and that's the other thing. In their back garden, we went and did a real job on them. But when I look at the game on Sunday, I look at it, and we were just, when we went forward, we were just sublime. The movement, I know you singled out Bernardo Silva, so did I after the game. What a player that guy is. I've got goosebumps talking about this guy, because he's one of the most genuinely nice guys. I'm lucky enough that I kind of have a little chat with him every now and again when I'm at the club.
I want to be
his
mate.
I do. Imagine Bernardo being your mate. Imagine it. Christmas dinner sat next to Bernardo. That would be great,
fantastic.
Wouldn't it? But I look at that performance, and I actually don't believe, I'm a little bit like I think you said last night, Chelsea were in that game, Chelsea weren't at their worst, because I was thinking
20 minutes in the first half,
they had a little spell,
actually okay, but the point is they're going to have a little spell because they're Chelsea, they're a good team, but it was the fact that we were obviously, when we had our spell, exponentially better. That was the point. Really, thank you.
Good word.
I read a thesaurus.
I'm going to Google it now just to make sure
it means just a lot, really.
It's a posh way of saying a lot, but no, because I felt coming into the game, I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of looking at Chelsea being so erratic this season, which they have been. They're putting performances in where they get beat at Bournemouth 4-0, but then they absolutely spank Huddersfield 5-0. I was thinking to myself, right, obviously I want that Bournemouth performance, that Chelsea coming here. And you know what actually I said after the game? It didn't matter which Chelsea turned up on Sunday, because we were just far better than them in every single department. Defensively, they looked weak, fragile, time we went forward, that our movement was just so fluid, they just couldn't, Aspilicueta, I mean, has he ever had a bigger nightmare than
he's a
great player.
A natural defender, 1-on-1, and Sterling gave him absolute nightmares. And I honestly believe, at the moment, Sterling is... I'd rather have him than Hazard, and that's a huge compliment given how
he
good
he plays for the
Hazard
team
is.
Doesn't he?
He does. He plays for the team. He works really hard. His commitment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was Joe Cole who said the other day that he's possibly the most mentally indestructible player in the Premier League, and I actually agree with that.
Abuse, hasn't he?
Given abuse he's had, given the stick he's had over the years, the fact that he is where he is now shows how resilient he actually is as a footballer. It's ridiculous, to be honest, because you'd have every right just to kind of crumble under all. But he's phenomenal once again, and he wasn't the only one. Bernardo and Laporte and Stones as well. About, they were phenomenal.
What you're doing there, Steve, I don't know about yourself. I actually said after the match on City Square, I said, is there ever been a time you could give 11 players the man of the match? Because even Edison, down to Edison, made some great saves when he needed to.
Pedro,
there wasn't a bad performance. Even Kyle Walker, who hasn't been at the best of form this season, let's be honest. No, but he hasn't, has he? Let's be honest with ourselves. But Kyle Walker looks like everybody looks up for it. They look solid. And Chelsea had that spell at 4-0, but we just stepped back a little bit, and every time we wanted to put the gear down, we were back on.
Of the Liverpool game, where every single player turned up, and I mean, to me, I still prefer the Liverpool game just because I guess it was more of a battle. And sometimes the first half, when you win that way, it comes a bit of a procession, and it's good, and it's like ridiculous, and you laugh at it. But the Liverpool game was pure determination and great when we won 2-1. But that game, everyone turned up and everyone performed, and it reminded me that way in terms of there was no weak links. And Zinchenko deserves a bit of credit as well.
Big time.
Because out of the cold and into
big
that,
time.
Where did that come from? I can only presume you played well in training and Pep thought, well, you know what, you've deserved a chance.
And when I saw the lineup, I was a little bit surprised, because again, Zinchenko, maybe the last few times he's played, has not really covered himself in glory. I was nervous, but people have got to just start thinking this is Pep Guardiola that's picked this guy. He's not some,
he's dead good,
it's not George from the Dog and Duck, is it? He knows what he's doing. So to me, Pep had obviously, like Steve said, he'd seen something from him this week that felt he was right for that game. And Pep does tend to do that, doesn't he? He picks teams for the opposition sometimes as well.
What we've done is, if you noticed, when we played Liverpool and when we played Chelsea, we're talking about two elite players of Salah and Hazard. So you've got these two players that are elite, but what we've done is starved them of the ball. So our left back, whether it was Laporte or whether it was Zinchenko, wasn't getting pulled up all over the place. They were part of a system that was designed to nullify them. Do you see where I'm coming from?
And look at, again, you look at Hazard in the game, Steve. One man we just spoke about there, it looked like he was almost man-marking him for most of the game. He was all over the pitch. Bernardo Silva, he was almost like Hazard's shadow, as much as he was offensively doing what he was doing.
That's why
defensively, it was ridiculous.
Because Bernardo's turned into the running man. Like, his energy, like, essentially, like, Bernardo was great last season, but now he's found this steely determination somewhere. He's gone up a level in terms of he's adapted to life in England. He's come tougher. I mean, that wasn't to say he wasn't tough last year, but he's obviously developed this kind of just steely determination. And because of that, I'm pretty certain he's made himself at the moment like the first choice right winger. Well, who thought we would take that 2 weeks ago? Because he was a central midfielder and now he's a right winger again. But the fact that he played there meant we were so defensively solid. Like Walker, Bernardo Silva, they just put in the hard miles on the right there. And as you said, his defensive awareness and his all-round game, he's the perfect Guardiola footballer.
He
really is. Like more than anyone.
And that first touch makes you want to cry, doesn't it?
Oh, it should be a little bit, doesn't it?
It should be banned. They call him bubblegum, don't they, the players? Players call him bubblegum because of how he controls that ball. It sticks to his foot.
I was in Lisbon the weekend on holiday, so I wanted to just talk to random people about Bernardo Silva, you know, because like, oh, you're Portuguese, you must love him. Yeah. I didn't, obviously, because I'm not in mental, but I genuinely wanted to, but because I was that excited.
You should have got a City shirt with Bernardo on the back. You'd have been mobbed by people over there, no doubt.
I want to start a campaign. We should just nickname him now Manchester City's Forrest Gump.
You know what I mean? Yeah, or Duracell Bunny or something like that.
He doesn't know when to stop, does he? He's up and down. And what I love about him is he's so small and petite, and he was pushing Virgil van Dijk over. He's just not scared of any size of player or what the reputation of that player is. He's just got that. He's like a bumblebee. He's like, everyone must be playing like a pack of bumblebees. And to try and counteract that as a manager.
You get stung, don't you? You get stung if that happens.
Oh, I like it. You get stung. But that's exactly what happened to Chelsea, you know. And he did, if you noticed, the other big game I think was a more important game because it stopped Liverpool going 10 points clear. Bernardo Silva was exactly the same in that game. He was here, he was there. He was everywhere.
Yeah, he was. After the game, I saw the interview. I don't know if you saw it with the BBC interview with Raheem Sterling or the Sky interview, one or the other. They asked Raheem Sterling, was that a win or was that a statement? Now, he was very humble in his response, Steve. You know, he says, it's just 3 points. Let's be honest, that is more than 3 points.
He's definitely lying. That's why he was on social media having fun afterwards, because he knew he couldn't after that. But I was saying on this show a couple of weeks ago that this run of games, we had the Arsenal, Everton, Liverpool, Chelsea. Not only did we have to win, I honestly believe we had to win in style just to show how up it we were. And I do believe fear factor is a thing. And given the fact Liverpool are dropping points at the moment, that we did a double kind of pronged statement, really, to Chelsea for the Carabao Cup final and to Liverpool for the title. And it was, definitely a statement. How can it not be? Because we've dismantled a very good team, and we dismantled a very good team a week earlier, and we beat a team away from home that usually give us troubles. It's been a hell of a week for Manchester City Football Club, and 9 points, 11 goals. It's been brilliant, and now Liverpool will be scared. You can tell even the little things, like, and I don't blame fans for doing this, but the Liverpool fans got together and made a big thing about the game before Bournemouth, because even though they want to support the team,
they've got nothing else to do.
But they did that because they know something at the moment. There's some edginess there, so they're trying to compensate for that, which is fair play to them for giving it. But that shows that they are thinking about that. We're there and we're matching them now. And just like that, we're back in the race. And we are favourites now, according to the bookies. It's good because we've sent a message across the Premier League with that we're here and we're back to our very best. And I'm excited. I think all City fans are probably excited too at the moment.
Yeah, and I don't think that excitement is going to cease anytime soon because the games are coming thick and fast as well. And is it important? I mean, obviously we went through that, you know, that little blip where we lost a few games, and particularly the Newcastle performance. I don't think there's any City fan that could kind of get their head around that. But do you think that's over now, Walt? I mean, when we're talking about that statement that we've made, I don't think the Chelsea game, it's not just the Chelsea game that to me is the statement. It's the fact that we've, like Steve said there, we had a week of playing Arsenal, Everton away, which we've got a terrible record generally at Goodison Park, and then Chelsea at home. We picked up 9 points. Now, for me, my statement before the Arsenal game was the ultimate statement would be to pick up them 9 points. But the way that we did it in absolute style. I mean, one goal conceded, and let me do my maths, 6, 3, 2, 11. 11 scored.
Well, that's it, you know, and what it does is, as well is you've got Aguero. I mean,
stop it.
I know.
Look at the love on his face when he says the word Aguero.
Aguero. It's a bit creepy, to be honest.
You know, he's the kind of player that just would get into any team in the world. And he's been ours, and he's been so overlooked in the Premier League. It's just the fact that he's smashing these teams, but smashing these records out of the park at the moment. And it just reflects well on him, and it reflects well on Pep Guardiola, who's turned Aguero from this poacher almost into this complete centre forward. And we're benefiting from that. And the way he links up all the play. Another thing I love about him is you'll see him do runs that are down a blind alley to create space for other players, because all the other teams have got their defenders are looking at him and saying, Aguero, and they're drawn towards him. So that's what he's managing to do, a complete centre forward. But it's a statement. Oh, of course it is. You know, Chelsea would have fancied it before the game. Arsenal, they'd have thought, you know, we might nick a point here. Everton, the turmoil they're going through, but they put up a really good performance. That was the closest of the three games.
That was a very different performance, that one, wasn't it, to the other two? Yeah. It was more grounded out. It wasn't spectacular on the
Sand
night.
Champions.
Exactly. You need to do that, don't you? Yeah.
A ground out result and two bankings. It's not bad, really, is it?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Two top six teams. I mean, for me, a slight contrarian point. Does it make the little kind of dip in form around Christmas a little bit more frustrating, seeing the levels we've reached now? Does it? Because I'm not one for looking back, but the Newcastle game, and you think, why were we so placid? Yeah. And then, does it make it more frustrating for you guys?
I think the Newcastle game is going to be the nucleus for us winning the league. And because I think it showed the players, and you've seen Pep come out since saying, I don't let them breathe now. They've got 100% Guardiola on them. Not just. And can you imagine coming into work and that man, he just jumps out from behind a door and it's like he starts just rabbiting straight away because he's had all these thoughts running around his head all night.
Yeah.
So you'd just be thinking, oh, right, I'm stuck in a corner. Right, I'll listen to you, Pep. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. And you can only take in so much that he's saying. But on a serious note, the beauty of Manchester City is they've got this manager, Pep, and they've managed to get all these players completely buying into the system of Pep, which seems to be the opposite of what's happening at Chelsea at the moment. Mm. So,
but it will take time. I mean, I'm not going to labour about Chelsea, but I mean, like Pep said, his first season, to try and instil that philosophy with the players, it didn't happen in his first season. But I think if they give Sarri time, I think he probably will get it right. However, Chelsea are not renowned for giving managers too much time, so I do feel that maybe Sarri's head is on the block. Just really quickly, Steve, before we go to the break, what sort of influence do you think that will have on the Carabao Cup final? Because obviously we play Chelsea again in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah,
you know, have we basically sussed them out? Are they basically going to go there, you know, expecting defeat?
I was chatting to a Chelsea fan today, actually, with some stuff I was doing away from this, and he's nervous. He's very nervous. You'd expect he would be. It's one of those things where it's double-edged, because they could see it as a way to actually try and prove a point, and it's a final, so surely they won't be as bad as they were in this game, because some lessons will be learned. And
he doesn't
good players,
learn from lessons, does he?
I don't know. Well, they beat us earlier on the season, so they can perform, obviously, and I won't write them off and be cocky about it. It obviously makes us favourites. It obviously shows that we can step it up when it matters. It obviously shows that we are man for man better than them, but you always have to fear the wounded animal, and it's so soon that it's going to be fresh in the minds when it comes around, and we won't play a single Premier League game before that either, so it's going to be our main focus, and it's going to be absolutely huge. And I think Chelsea will strike back. I still think we'll win, but I think it'll be a lot closer than this time. But I think that's just common sense, really, given how much of a thrashing that was.
Yeah, I think they need to be some sort of reaction from Chelsea. So 20 minutes has absolutely flown by. We're going to take a break now, but after the break we're going to get on the phone Ian Bishop.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
The
Welcome back to the Manchester Football Social. We're talking Manchester City until 7 o'clock. I'm Stephen McInerney. I'm here with the legendary Walter Smith and Danny Jackson, Fanzone Danny. We're going to be talking about all things Manchester City, including the Newport game, the build-up, all that kind of stuff, the run-up to the Champions League, and much, much more. If you want to get involved, call 0345 111 7625, or you can just text in on 87711. But before we get into any of that stuff, Danny's been through his phone book and he's got a bit of a guess for us, haven't you, Danny?
Just a bit. This guy is a true City legend. He's got, even when he played for us, he's still got the greatest hair now that you have ever seen on a footballer. Forget your Robbie Savage. This guy's got proper hair. He was a proper footballer, member of the 5-1 Demolition Derby, September 1989. The one, the only, the Bish! Good evening, Bish!
You can't beat just some men, can you?
How are you, my mate? You okay?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right, mate. Yeah, I was really happy when I got the message off you.
Yeah,
a bit. Good to speak to you.
Of course it is, mate. Of course it is. You're probably sunning yourself out there in Florida. How's the weather out there at the minute, mate?
Mate, I haven't got out yet. I've been doing the housework and made me a bit
cleaning the pool and stuff like that, yeah?
Yeah, made me a bit homesick listening to the traffic on the M62, actually.
Not, yeah. Listen, Bish, first, I mean, before we get into current day City, I mean, we've had you down at City Square loads of times. You know, you love getting involved at the club. Tell us about, I mean, I want to know, because I don't think I've ever asked you directly, that Demolition Derby, the 5-1, you got that goal. You know, you look back at times like that, mate, and, you know, how proud are you of what you did? Not just at City, obviously, at West Ham, but particularly memories like that, they must really stand out for you.
They do, mate. You know, it was a sort of weird scenario with what happened to me with the club, you know, being there such short a time. That's the first time I was there in 89, and obviously coming to the reality, I didn't want to leave. I had 3.5 years left on my contract, but once the manager says he's prepared to let you go, it's a case of, okay, well he's shown his colours, and would it be so bad going and playing at West Ham, you know, a proper footballing club, and just get back on that horse again? You know, it took me so long to get to City. You know, people don't realise that 4 years at Carlisle.
Yeah.
But I take everything, mate. I take every part of my career, the grounding at Everton, coming through the youth system, them giving me my values. You know, the 4 years at Carlisle was making me a man and making me a player, making me a footballer. I feel the spell of Bournemouth sort of resurrected me in a sense, and then City gave me that platform, and then the coming back was a no-brainer for me, mate, to be honest with you. I didn't even look at the situation that the club were in at the time. It was just a case of, I actually couldn't believe it when my missus phoned me and said, look, City are on the phone, they want you to speak. And honestly, I couldn't get
quality. And I mean, it's a very different City these days to the one maybe you were at the time. I mean, you look at this season, we're still in the four trophies, you know, very much in the hunt for the Premier League. I mean, how do you see this season panning out? I mean, obviously the league is going to be a close run thing. Champions League is always going to be difficult to win. And then the Carabao Cup final is still in the FA Cup. You know, how do you see overall this season panning out, Bish?
Well, we learned our lesson from last year, didn't we? Because everybody was talking about, you know, the four trophies, can Pep do it? I mean, the beauty of that is, yes, he probably could. You know what I mean? Somebody like him and what he's done at the clubs he's been at, and especially what he's doing now, because this is probably his toughest examination, isn't it, coming and managing City?
Yeah.
But, you know, the title itself is a two-horse race. I mean, Tottenham, for me, are in a false position. Watching them against Leicester, seeing them struggle in a game that, I don't care if Kane and Dele Alli, you know, they still should have enough, but they don't to me. You know, looking at Liverpool, okay, they're excelling again, you know, and I heard things, I did a little bit of talk sport through the week. Oh, the fans are nervous. How can you be nervous? They're in a two-horse race now. Okay, they're not looking up at City, chasing them, and probably the pressure's off if they was like that, but I'd rather be sitting on top with them extra points or the extra game, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
I was going to ask you, Bish, you always reminded me of a player that was sort of a Pep Guardiola player. You had that 360 vision and, you know, you could put your foot on the ball and you could find a man. Oh, you know, you could find the channels, you could see the runs. I was going to ask you, which player would you compare yourself most to in this City squad?
Well, I don't know about comparing because I think he gets his foot in a little bit more than I do, but I'd love to sit in that Fernandinho role, mate. I mean, I think I had the ability to be a little bit further forward also, but I think that would have been the position for me because, I mean, look, when it was just a basic 4-4-2, there was always one of your two midfield that needed to bomb on, and then somebody had to be sensible enough to see there's gaps to be filled. And I always found that I was the person filling the gaps. Well, probably because I was slower than the other midfield player who wanted to get forward. But you know, I always felt that responsibility, and I feel that position now. I was told in my time, both at City and West Ham, that I came too deep and got myself in trouble sometimes, helping out. Now, I don't see that as being wrong. I see that as a natural thing that I did, you know. And I, right now, the way your keeper gets involved, and especially Ederson, the way he gets involved,
he's a one-off,
the system
isn't
that he plays, I think I would have just slotted into that position more comfortably than anywhere else, to be fair.
I don't know what Walt's memories of you, but when you said Fernandinho, me and Walt looked at each other and was kind of like, really? You know, to me, you're a David Silva. You are a David Silva. You could see them passes. You were tenacious. Mate, listen, you always undersell yourself. I generally try and big you up because of what I think of you as a player. I mean, you know, for me, you saw them, like Walt said, you could knock a ball on a sixpence. You saw the passage, you saw the runs. You just had that overall vision. Anyway, you won't agree with me because I know what you're like. You're a very, very, very humble guy.
Honestly, mate, for you to put my name next to his, I don't get overawed or excited about meeting people, being in the presence of people, and I've done it. You know, you can go through any walk of life, and I've been involved or in the presence of people. But I was at one of the City games, and I got on the lift, and David Silva was injured that day. I got on the lift, and he was in there, and although he's a little bit smaller than me, I felt in awe of him, and I was compelled to put my hand out and say, "I'm Ian Bishop. It's so good to meet you." And I don't think I've ever done that with anybody else, mate.
Maybe he should have done that to you, Bish.
I think he should have done it. He should have got down on his knees and prayed to the Bish.
You'll have to have a word with him.
I will.
Could I ask you're in Florida and, you know, you've got your sunshine, you've got your pool and all that kind of lifestyle. Does it still shock you when you're walking down the road and you see someone on the other side of you at the mall and he comes out of a coffee shop and he's in a City shirt and, you know, he's kind of double, triple taking? Does that still shock you, or is it becoming more commonplace?
No, it still shocks me, to be honest, especially here. And one of the weirdest things was, I mean, I was in Rome last summer, and I was in this the sports shop looking for a shirt for me, one of my sons, the one who's a Man City fan, actually. He does like the Roma side of things with Dzeko, you know.
Oh yeah.
So, and then some fella, he just had a regular shirt on, and he said, "You're Ian Bishop, aren't you?" And I went, "Yeah." I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I'm in Rome, and a Sheffield Wednesday fan recognised the City of Bournemouth. That was really strange, to be fair.
Bish, I was just wondering, because obviously you had two spells at City, and the spells were like 10 years apart. And obviously you're back at City, pretty common these days in terms of watching the club every now and then. How does it feel? Like, have you seen a massive change, even from that initial 10-year gap to now? Does it feel like you've seen the club grow from different eras hugely?
It's amazing what's happened, honestly. Just, I mean, the difference in the 10 years for me just then, and that was back in, 98 when I came back, the difference then, the thing that stays the same is the attitude and the temperament of the fans. You know, yeah. I know you've got a new generation, but it's funny for me that when I do come back, that you've got the little kids walking with the dads, and the kids are trying to get to the main entrance to see the players, and the dads are pulling them away to come and have a chat with you know. And that's how it's always going to be for me. I was in New York recently at the City Supporters Club. And
good, aren't they? Good bunch.
Sorry?
They're a good bunch, then, aren't they? I was there recently as well.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I had a great weekend because I had a Saturday in the West Ham Supporters Bar, and then I went to the City one on the Sunday, so... Imagine how that weekend went.
Do you remember it? You're not shy of a drink, Bish. I do know that about you, that's for sure.
I'm just old
school. Of course you are. Listen, we're going to let you get, you know, finish off cleaning your pool, get your factor 50 on and get back out on that sunbed. But listen, complete honour as always to speak to you, mate. You know, you're a City legend. We love you. Me and Walt are massive fans. Steve was a little, he was only 3 years old when you played for us.
No,
so,
I remember the second spell. I was like 14 then. And I remember thinking, this guy can pass, you know. Yeah. It was all right.
And he could pass. But thanks for coming on, Bish, and see you soon, yeah?
Hey, mate.
Cheers, mate.
I'll be back before the season finishes.
Good man.
Before the season ends.
Look forward to it. Cheers, see you soon. See you, mate. Ian Bishop. Now, Walt, legend. Look at our faces when we were talking to him. I mean, I know, obviously, maybe he didn't play as much as, you know, some City legends down the era. Maybe legend might be the wrong term, I don't know. But he was a bit of a hero at the time because he was a cultured player. He gave everything for the shirt. And, you know, he gets that diving header in the 5-1. I mean, to me, that is a definition of legendary status.
Do you know what? You make yourself immortal then, don't you? Yeah. I tell you, we could do with him, I'm telling you now, at this weekend. I know we're going to move on to it, but that pitch is, you know, that we're going to be playing on would have been like the pitches he was playing on. So I'd have him back, you know.
What, now?
At a time machine, you know what I mean?
He'd want to get his Newport, I reckon, you know. Yeah. Line him up centre mid alongside, I don't know, Foden or someone. For generations.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know, you're right, Danny. Me and you were like two little kids coming down the stairs and we thought, we just heard Santa's been.
Looking at each other. Tiptoeing round. But, I mean, obviously he's out there now in the States. It sounds like he's sunning himself up. Another team that have done that is Liverpool, Steve. You know, they've gone out there to do some warm weather training. Obviously with City, we've got the FA Cup game, the Carabao Cup, which they're not in. So how do you think that is going to impact maybe on the latter part of the season? Do you think that'll be a huge advantage that they've got that opportunity to do it? Or do you think playing games thick and fast is the way to go?
I never quite get the warm weather training thing, because to me, it's like an admission that things at the moment aren't quite right. It's like, it's almost like saying, we can't handle this, so we need a break to get on with it. And surely, psychologically, that doesn't really send a strong message. It should be like, no, this is our job, we're getting on with it. I can see the idea behind it, but I don't always think it's necessary, because it's not, kind of like snaps you out of where you are and the focus. And the best players, and I pick any player will say this as well, like they want to just keep playing games, they want to just keep getting on with it. Obviously they haven't got other games because they're out some of the cups, but it feels to me like, I don't know, I mean, I guess I'm speaking from City experience, where obviously we did it you know, a couple of seasons back, and it didn't go particularly well for us when we came back. And what game was it we lost?
Wigan,
yeah, in the cup. It just doesn't seem like a wise idea. I mean, they could come back and win 10 in a row. I hope they don't. But it just feels like you should just kind of be getting on the job and focusing it, and instead of having a jolly, and it will be a jolly, let's be honest. Mm. It always kind of ends up in those kind of things when they go away. But I don't know. To me, I'm not really sold on it.
No, I could tell you two reasons, Danny, why it won't work. Number one.
Oh, I like this.
Oh, no, this is just straight up. Number one, you know when you're coming back from holiday and you're landing into Manchester, or you're landing into John Lennon Airport if you're Liverpool, and you look out the window and it's miserable and it's raining. How much does your mood improve when you know you've got to be back at work the next day? What type of person are you then?
You're right.
So that's number one. And number two, we talk about science moving its way into the football. And if you look at all the players, we know when they're getting close to injuries, the red zone, as they call it. But we've got that massive squad, you know, that can... And you can see Pep just dropping in players, drip, drop, drip, drop, drip, drop, all the way through. So there's players out to prove a point that they want to be... They want to be getting in that first team, so they're battling as well. Mm. So they're looking over, you know, their best mate, as it were. They're looking over thinking, you're not getting in this team this week, I am, and I'm going to show the manager in training. So we're doing that week in, week out. We've got the big squad, but more psychologically, landing when it's pouring down, don't put anybody in a good place.
I can see fors and against it, to be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, a bit of warm weather, you know, a bit of kind of, I guess, light training, you know, over there. Maybe at this stage in the season, it's not about, you know, hard drilling them. It's going to be quite kind of a bit more. I can see that it'd have an advantage. But at the same time, I just think momentum is so important in winning titles. I'm not just talking about winning games, but, you know, we're going to be hard at it over the next couple of weeks, preparing for Burton weekend. We're going to be hard at it preparing, obviously, obviously for the Carabao Cup final, and then the league games once again come thick and fast, and in between all that we've got the Champions League as well. So, you know, for me, I think if I was a player, I think I'd rather be playing, and for me, just, you know, being everything, squad size we've got, Steve, as well, is huge, isn't it?
You know, you've got any games, that's the thing, I guess, until they've got like a week basically today until they play Bayern. So maybe they're thinking that if they just train for another week, 7 days, it might just be a little bit too repetitive. So they're probably thinking maybe we'll just kind of change the scenery a little bit for the sake of that, because otherwise they've got literally a week and a half without playing any football. So it could be purely just a logistic kind of thing, just to put them in a different kind of headspace, because they have got a huge game, everyone of games coming up. We've got Bayern, United, Watford, Everton, you know, so it's a massive kind of run of games that could define their season. So it could be just because they have a gap, not because they feel like they need it, just be something, essentially something to do, you know, in that period of time, because they're not in the cup competitions like we are. So, you know, I'm still not convinced. I feel like it does kind of shift focus in a potentially negative way. But I mean, physiologically, it could be good for them, could help them in terms of recuperation and all that kind of stuff. But I guess none of us actually technically know what it's going to do.
It shifts my focus from the fact that they got knocked out of both competitions. Let's just focus on that. Keep it simple.
Yeah. I'm a teacher, aren't I? So whenever I go into school and we get knocked out of a competition, you try and put a brave face on it, you know. Oh, we can concentrate on the league, you know. And you know, anybody who says that, you know, they're dying inside. Yeah. They've said it, and you think,
Got to influence them kids to be blue. Well, come on, I'm sure you do.
Oh, we do try, but you know, it's one of them where they've played the, you know, we're concentrating on the league card, and that's the submission. Then you think, the boy's had enough. Yeah. He's had enough. Yeah. Don't push it much further.
Yeah, you've got as far as you can go.
And, you know, if somebody said to you, you know, would you rather get knocked out against Burton in that semi-final? You know, would you rather this happen? You go, no. Wembley, here we come.
Football's about trophies at the end of the day. And I still think there's nothing better than winning a trophy in February. It's like the boost you get from that. Like, I loved Wembley last year. It was amazing. And winning a trophy, just it gives you that impetus to go on and taste in silverware. And you see how much it meant to the players on the Wembley last year. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. And then it makes you feel invincible. It makes you want to go on a run. And I keep saying it, winning breeds winning. You know, it breeds confidence. And like, that's what winners do. They keep playing games. They keep winning. And essentially, if they've already failed in two trophies, you know, look at it that way. That's a negative way of looking at it, but it's true.
Completely.
They failed in two trophies. Oh. And all their eggs now are in these two kind of like really precarious baskets. And like, it for us, we've got, you know, this, essentially our standards of excellence are still there. We're still in all the competitions. We've still got loads of games to play, and we'll keep our squad active as well. Look at it that way, in terms of our backup players will all be active, they'll all be involved. We'll have this really kind of like cohesion with the team spirit. They'll all be in it together. They'll all be playing games, and they'll all know that if they go as far as they can do, they've all been involved, and there'll be that kind of unity from the fact that they're all so busy together. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. And that squad depth may be called upon this weekend as City take on Burton. I'm losing.
Newport.
I'm going back again. take on Newport in the FA Cup 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. And after the break, we're going to be discussing that game, looking ahead, looking at formations and what we think about that pitch. But if you want to get involved, give us a call, 0345 111 7625, or get us on text 87711.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
We're back to the third and final part of this Football Social, and I'm here with Steve McInerney and Danny Jackson. Now, the third part of the show, we're going to be looking at the build-up for the Newport County game. How will the pitch affect City? Will it be conductive? Will it be an equaliser? Can City adapt to tough conditions in an awful stadium? They did win once 6-1 at Old Trafford, so I think they can. And Joe Cole's made some comments about Raheem Sterling being the best player in the next few years in the Premier League. Newport County, Danny.
Yes, well, Newport County, so not Burton, like I said at the end of the last one. But, I think I'll be quite interested to see with what team Pep goes with. Because, ultimately, he is definitely going to rotate players. I think you're going to see quite a few players that maybe haven't had a lot of game time. The likes of Fabian Delph and Danilo. I do think he can take the chance. The pitch will absolutely be a leveller. There's no doubt about that. Maybe not a leveller, but it'll bring the gulf that is top of the Premier League to midway in League Two. You know, that is a huge gulf, but I think that pitch will slightly even it out. However, I think our team are very capable of winning that game in style.
I feel like I'm the only City fan who thinks this has been played up a bit too much, because essentially, on the day, it's just a pitch, it's bad, but pretty much Newport have to deal with it all the time. Loads of other teams have to deal with it, so we can't be these prissy prima donnas moaning about a pitch, because we're millionaire footballers, and they've got, it's not ideal, but we just have to get on with it, really, because they paid a lot of money to do this. And for me, I don't think it's a bigger deal that people are making out to be, because I think our quality is just so much bigger. And that's no disrespect to Newport. They're currently sat mid-table, in League Two, and we are out and out favourites by a long way. And if for whatever reason they beat us, that's not the pitch's fault. That's us underperforming. So we should focus on our own abilities, really, then, instead of worrying about the conditions. Yes, it will definitely help Newport. But I do think, in general, it's not going to suddenly make them, capable of getting the ball off us or anything like that. We should be able to play to our abilities. And even if we do rotate players, I actually think we'll play a slightly stronger team than we think, because I think Pep will take it seriously in the way he's taking all the competition series at the moment. But I still think, as you said, it'll be the likes of Danilo and Fabian Delph, and then we'll see Gundogan probably start still, and Gabriel Jesus and Mahrez. It's still going to be a really strong team. And we'll probably see Muric get a game maybe as well. I don't think we'll even see a youngster, maybe Foden. But I think we'll go take it quite seriously, and we should do, because we're quite far in the competition. There's not many teams left in it that we should be genuinely fearful of, and it's a big chance for us to go one step towards going to Wembley again.
It's a huge chance. Yeah. Well, is it, when you look at what you would sort of say is the stereotypical top 4/6 in the Premier League, there's only two left. They face each other in Chelsea and United. Let's be honest, I think you'd fancy our chances against either of them as well. So I'm not saying it's a potentially a clear passage to the final, but when people say, and I'm not going to talk about us winning the quadruple, but when we're still in four trophies, trying to win four trophies, what you've got to have is that element of luck as well about your draws and who you get. We've got an element of luck with drawing a lower league team. Let's be honest, Schalke was the easiest of the draws we could have got in the Champions League. Definitely. I'm not nothing against Schalke, but that ultimately was the facts of the situation. The league takes care of itself over 38 games, and we're very much in the mix of that. We're in the final of the Carabao Cup. We'll be heavy favourites to win that as well. So I'm not, I'm not saying we're going to win 1, 2, 3, or 4 trophies, but what I'm saying is, this has probably never been a better chance for us to I'm not going to say quadruple, for us to maximise our trophy haul this season.
Look at the Premier League teams involved still. You've only got, you know, Watford, obviously City, and you've got Chelsea and United going to hit each other. To those
I
two.
Was saying that was the it's best draw we could have had. You know, just in terms of we've got Newport, but it was the two other big guns went up against each other. Now, before showed me a video of Newport's pitch, and I'm telling you, they may as well be playing on a park, but not just any old park. You know, when it's got all the tractors running over it after a fair, or if anybody's been to a kind of festival, that's the kind of pitch that we're talking about. You know, it seems like they play rugby on there, and then they just get out. I don't know what's the big thing that they use, and they just go over and flatten all of it. You know, the big wheeler. See, you can tell I'm not into gardening, but we all know what I'm on about. The big wheeler that you push. And
yeah,
you just
big heavy roller.
It,
yeah,
big heavy
yeah.
roller. They just flatten it all over again, and then it's good to go. And they're used to playing on that. But anybody who sees our players, they're used to playing on carpets, bowling greens. So I'm just hoping that it doesn't take them by any kind of surprise. I mean, the changing rooms there as well. They've never seen anything like this.
Do you reckon they've currently got like kind of pitchforks out at the CFA digging up pitches just to replicate the pitch?
I reckon they've already organised a friendly rugby match just to churn it up a little bit more. Because let's be honest, though, you look at it, you know, why would they not use that to their advantage? It's a situation where they have got, like you said a minute ago, Steve, the millionaire footballers, the big time Charlies rolling into town. Surely they have to use every angle they can to give themselves some kind of advantage.
I just don't believe we should be looking for potential excuses.
I agree. But they'll still try.
I've just been contrarian this because I think in general, like they got beat 4-1 to Forest Green at home the other day. So Forest Green can, you know, deal with it. Then
Bury beat them a couple of weeks.
The only worry for me is injuries, you know, but then I guess that could happen at any point. That's the worry for me mainly. I think in general we've got too much ability to worry too much about the pitch and how it affects us, because we still can play it perfectly, you know. We can play 30, 40 yard lofted balls. Still,
just play Edison midfield. Yeah, exactly, that might solve the problem.
No, he might get injured, and in some respects, he's the one player that we can't do without. You know, people talk about Ferrandinho, and I look at, you know, you've got Gundogan, or, you know, there's other players that can slightly fill in, but Edison, you know, he is the goalkeeper that they just broke the mould after they made him. You know, he's a one-off, and, you know, that was the one thing against Chelsea. He was so good there. Mm. But, you know, I'm not too worried about Edison, I say that. And someone's going to trickle a ball. It's going to hit one of those lumps that hasn't been rolled. And it's going to end up in the back of the net. But as you were saying, Danny, before, you do get this sort of luck with the draw. And we have had the luck with the draw. And we need to now capitalise on that and go as deep into the competitions. That sounds better, doesn't it?
I like that.
Go as deep into these competitions.
That's kind of non-committal, isn't it?
Very non-committal. I feel a bit like a politician almost.
Listen, I'm like Steve. I'm not into all that jinxing, like, you know, people going mad because City tweet something that's maybe slightly, you know, disrespectful.
I always find that, like, generally quite arrogant. Like, people believe what they say has an impact on the universe as a whole. I was like, no, it doesn't.
I used to be into superstitions when I was a kid, you know, where I used to wear, you know, certain colour boxer shorts when City. I mean, nowadays, I am not interested. We are watching the cream of the crop. You know, we've got the best side. And if it goes to, you know, the potential of the two sides, we should go to Newport and absolutely roll them out of town.
So I've got a mate who's worn the same jumper and it's getting holier and holier to City over 20 years. Tony's jumper. You know, I wouldn't even recognise Tony if he didn't come along with his jumper on. That's it.
Speaking of the cream of the crop, though, before we wrap up today, Raheem Sterling, Joe Cole's come out and said that he's on the way to potentially being an all-time great. You look at his stats for the past couple of seasons, he's up there very the best and averaging a goal and assist pretty much every single game. And I never really thought about it that way before in terms of, like, yeah, if he does keep on the consistent rate for the next 5 years or so, we're looking at a guy who's going to have something like 200 goal involvements in 200 games. And then eventually, we'll be able to talk about Sterling in a few years' time as potentially one of the Premier League all-time greats.
Of course she is. What I love about Raheem Sterling is you look at his intelligence and his movement, and that's what singles him out as one of the better players. He can find space. There could be 20 players in a box, and he's got that ability to find space. And you know, people say, oh, he's a tapping merchant. Well, that's a skill in itself. Nobody turned round to Ian Rush and Gary Lineker at the time and said, well, they're no good because they're tapping merchants. This is and he's a kid still who's just getting better and better and better under Pep Guardiola. Pep's bringing the best out of him.
Yeah, very, very quickly. Yeah, Raheem Sterling for me has been sensational. He is one of the best attacking players in the world without a shadow of a doubt. And this is a guy with the thickest skin you could ever imagine. What he's had to come up against the last few years, for him to perform like he has, unbelievable. But I'm afraid, guys, that is it for this week's Manchester City Football Social. Been an absolute pleasure to be in the company of two legends. So I appreciate your time, guys. Have a good evening.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Cheers, guys, for listening to the Manchester Football Social podcast. That's been a fun hour there. It's flown by. I'm still in the studio with the guys, and we touched on something at the very end of the show there that I want to go into a little bit more detail about. Raheem Sterling is the man on fire at the moment. Goals, assists, and everything. And Joe Cole has been very complimentary about him, saying he could be an all-time great. And I agree with that. I agree with Joe on this, actually. I agree with Danny on this. I said that accidentally there, but I'm sure Danny does actually agree as well, that that Raheem Sterling at the moment is a man. He's huge for Manchester City. And can he actually go on to be an all-time Premier League great, in your guys' opinions?
Without doubt. I mean, what is he, 22, 23 years old?
He's 24, actually.
Is he 24?
Yeah, he's still a kid, though, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. He's a baby.
But this, you know, as I said very, very briefly there at the end of the show, you know, this is a guy that has had to go through so much trauma and turmoil because he decided he wanted to leave a club that win nothing every season to join a club that win trophies every season. You know, he was probably going to get the same kind of financial contract from Liverpool, but he wanted to play under Pep. He wanted to win things. Obviously, you're not going to stay at Liverpool to do that. And the amount of abuse I don't get, fans, non-living. I mean, let's be honest. In fact, I'm going to, because the more I think about this, the way it's going now, everybody other than Liverpool fans wants City to win the Premier League. Am I right in saying that out of the two of them? Yeah. So why is it that these Muppets at games are booing Raheem Sterling for leaving Liverpool to join Manchester City? I just don't get it. But anyway, back to the question. I think he's an absolutely sensational player on his day. Unplayable. I mean, look at what he did to Aspilicueta at weekend. I mean, this is a guy, you know, he's captained Spain. He's played numerous games for Spain. You know, he doesn't often get embarrassed. Raheem Sterling embarrassed him at times.
Do you think he's underrated still, Walter? Like, yeah, the perception of him. People talk about Hazard and all that lot and whatever, but no one really mentions Sterling in that same category. Why is that? Like, is he underrated still?
I think because sometimes he doesn't do it for England. I know, I'd just like to pick that up on, there's a really, really good, I don't often watch Arsenal fan TV, but someone put up a 2-minute clip of one of the guys who's on there regular, and he went into a big, big rant about why are Arsenal fans having a go at Raheem Sterling? Kyle Walker, fair enough, because he's ex-Tottenham.
Yeah.
And he went into this whole big sort of rant.
It was troops, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just thought, but he was articulate with it as well. And he put his point across. You know, Raheem Sterling takes abuse for shopping at Poundland, for buying his mother something expensive, for, you know, having a dirty car, having a clean car, you know, whatever certain sections of the newspapers want to dig this man out. And it's, you know, sort of people have called it borderline racism. And in many ways, I'd agree with that. You know, this is a young black man who's very successful. And if he was playing for Liverpool now, I don't think he'd be getting any of this. And he could be potentially the difference between England winning something and England not winning something if he's treated right.
Do you think he's bothered, Steve? Do you think actually it affects him? Because what I'm saying I'm sure it does to a degree, but it doesn't seem to have affected his ability on the pitch, does it? He seems like he's very mentally strong.
I think he's used to it now, because I remember during when it all kicked off a couple of months ago.
It's sad, though.
Yes, it is sad, but Gary Neville and Carragher did that thing where they talked about it, and Neville admitted at the time he didn't deal with it very well, but Sterling actually came up to him and said, look, why is it me getting all the stick? And he actually asked him for some guidance on that front. But I think now he's developed the thickest skin, and as a result, in a weirdly perverse way, it's actually made him a better player and a stronger player. And his head is absolutely ridiculously strong to be where he is now, despite everything. It speaks volumes, and to me, it shows probably an upward trajectory that's going to be difficult to stop, because the way he took that first goal against Chelsea, he used to run up towards the ball and strike it almost hesitantly.
Yeah. He'd do his little T-Rex run as he was coming towards it,
with
his little arms going.
You could see it in his eyes that he knew he was going to score. I've not seen that before from Sterling, that level of confidence. And that
the scary thing is, he's probably 2 years off being prime. Now, how frightening potentially could that be for other teams?
20-plus goals, 20-plus assist potential player a season. And those kind of people are worth hundreds of millions.
Well, Henry was in that kind of category, wasn't he?
And he's ours under his prime things. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to the Manchester Football Social. Don't forget, you can subscribe to it by searching Manchester Football Social. There's a City one there, United one. Get it subscribed so you get episodes all the time. I've been Stephen. That's been Danny over there and Walton next to me. And we'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.